Please pray with me. So, Father, we recognize that you are here among us, and we thank you for preparing our hearts for this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you, Father, that you love each one of us personally and passionately. And I pray that you would take these words, make them sufficient for your people. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I was raised by an artist. My mother was a painter, and so that meant all that that means by being raised by an artist. We were dragged around as kids to art shows and art galleries and museums, and she was a poet, a published poet in college, and so she was just a wacky lady. She died a couple years ago. She painted a car plaid once, and I remember going to Scottsdale and Laguna Beach and Santa Fe and Taos with all of her paintings time and time again. But being raised by an artist means that you're surrounded by art all the time. And so she would not only take us to art shows, but also to concerts and poetry readings and ballet. And I didn't love ballet. But I saw a good ballet once, and it was just fabulous, and I fell in love with ballet. So it was great being raised by an artist. It was really a wonderful blessing, and I came to love art, came to just adore it, all kinds of art, all kinds of music, and all kinds of poetry, and it was just in my veins. I just loved it so much. And I began to see how, with my mother's help, that all of art leads us to consider great things, that all of art shows us beyond the art piece itself to something that's even greater, that all of art is a prelude or a preview of something more glorious than itself. That everything that's beautiful is meant to lead us to consider ultimate beauty. Everything that's beautiful is meant for us to consider ultimate beauty. And that's what Bruce Herrmann said last week when he was with us. Bruce is a nationally known artist, and he said the same thing. He said that when we see glory is when we see God. And when we see glory in pieces of art is when we're led to consider God and ultimate beauty. He says, you want to see glory? He says, go outside and look at the mountains. You want to see glory? He said, look deeply and long into a person's face. That's where you'll see glory. And he invited us to go to the edge of the Grand Canyon and be just overwhelmed with a sense of the glory of God. But he said the same thing. He said that everything that's beautiful is meant to lead us to consider ultimate beauty. Everything that's beautiful is meant for us to consider ultimate beauty. When Jesus was born, the angel came to the shepherds, and the angel announced to these shepherds that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. And then Luke says, suddenly there was with the angel a heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. When Jesus came, according to Luke's gospel, we're meant to see that the angel and the shepherds pointed us beyond the obvious to ultimate glory, glory to God in the highest, and that Jesus, when he came, brought grace and truth. The gospel today from the 12th chapter of John's gospel is a strange choice of all the three readings today, and it didn't occur to me until they were read earlier, because all of the three lessons could be preached on beautifully. But the 12th chapter of John points us to this whole point of what beauty is and how we're meant to see in beautiful things, ultimate beauty. It's the last speech that Jesus gives, and it composes chapter 12 through chapter 17, and it's really more than a speech. It's a prayer. Jesus praying to God over and over again until the high priestly prayer in chapter 17. And he begins this part of his speech by saying, "My soul is troubled." And then he says, "What should I say? Save me from this hour? From this hour?" He says, "No. For this purpose I have come to this hour." He spoke of his dying because in the previous verses we heard about the grain of the wheat falling to the ground and dying so that it could bear fruit. So he's speaking about his dying, and he says he's come to this hour. This hour is the hour of his glory. Jesus says, "Then, Father, glorify your name." And then we hear that heaven is opened, and the voice from heaven says, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The hour that he's talking about is the hour of his death, the crucifixion, the hour of his final glory. "Now is the hour to be glorified," he says. And in John chapter 1, we read, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only begotten Son of the Father." We have seen his glory. And Paul in Galatians says, "Far be it from me to glory in anything except for the cross of Christ." Moses talked about the glory of God when he pleased God. God said, "What can I do for you?" And Moses simply says, "Lord, that I might see your glory. Show me your glory," Moses says. And all the history of Israel then becomes a history of people wanting to see the glory of God and God giving glimpses of that glory. And then we see in Jesus' first miracle how he multiplied the wine to be sufficient for the needs of that wedding party. And the commentator, John, in his gospel says this: "This was the first of the signs in Cana of Galilee where Jesus manifested his glory." All of these are little glimpses of God's glory. God showing his true self in the history of the people of Israel and inviting them to consider something that's beyond that, where God would truly, manifestly be glorified. We too have had those experiences. I mean, when we've seen a beautiful piece of art or heard a beautiful piece of music or read an incredible poem, we've seen senses, glimpses of the same glory of God. But today in this gospel, we hear these words: "Now is the hour. Now is the hour of God's glory." The cross of Christ is the glory of Christ, where we will see what all of human history has been waiting for from the beginning, what we've hoped for is now realized in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so why is this glorious, the cross of Christ? After Jesus said, "Now is the hour, it is for this hour that I have come," in verse 27, in verse 31 he says, "Now is the judgment of this world." Why is the cross so glorious? Because it takes care of the judgment that is imposed upon us and demanded of us. The cross settled once and for all our judgment. And that's why it's so glorious. That's why it's so wonderful. Such a blessing. There's no judgment for Christians. I mean, we'll be judged for the actions of our life, like everyone will be held accountable for the actions of our life. But in terms of eternal judgment, the scriptures tell us that there will be no judgment. It says in John chapter 5, "Truly, truly, I tell you, Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. You see how the cross, this moment, this time, is the time of God's judgment. The cross is glorious because our judgment is settled once and for all there. Jesus settled our account with God there. He did it as our substitute. He took upon himself the judgment that we deserve. He took upon himself the curse that we deserve, so much so the scriptures say he became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. The cross is where all the glimpses of the glory of God point, because it's ultimate glory. It's God's glorious revelation of himself. It's there that we pass from death into life. And so as we approach the cross in the coming weeks, Palm Sunday and Holy Week, we're nearing the hour of God's ultimate glory. And so the next time that you're surprised by glimpses of his glory, the next time you see beauty and you hear beauty and you have a glimpse of something glorious, know that it's meant to lead you to consider the ultimate glory of Jesus Christ, the ultimate beauty of Jesus Christ, the glory of his substitution for us on the cross when we deserve to die. Every beautiful thing is meant to lead us to consider ultimate beauty. And Jesus says, now is the hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.